This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, September 14th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Hurricane Florence batters the coast with water and wind threatening widespread destruction.
More than 60 fires and several gas explosions displaced thousands of Massachusetts residents.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo defeats challenger Cynthia Nixon in the state's primary election.
Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has reportedly agreed to a plea deal. Plus, former President Obama hit the campaign trail. I'm Michael Barr. Those stories and more coming up.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, the Mets walk off Miami in back-to-back fashion, win both games of a doubleheader, while the Bengals are 2-0.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European shares are rising following a rally in Asian equities. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 34. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. So is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.2%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.76%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 23 cents to $68.81 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.50 to $12.1070 an ounce. The euro, $1.1696, and the yen, 111.78. Bob.
We begin with the latest on Hurricane Florence. The storm is now battering the Carolinas with water and wind that's threatening widespread destruction. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Garland joins us now with the very latest. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Right now, Florence is located 20 miles east of Wilmington, North Carolina, with winds of 90 miles an hour, making it a Category 1 hurricane. It's moving west-northwest at 6 miles an hour. It's likely to cross the coast between Surf City, North Carolina, and the Wilmington area later this morning. Just a little while ago, Cape Lookout, North Carolina, was sustained at 72 miles an hour with a gust of 90 miles an hour. We've seen already 20 inches of rain or more at Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, and the rain is going to continue as that storm slowly drifts towards the west and southwest, Bob.
And this is just the beginning, isn't it, Rob? What's ahead for today and the rest of the weekend?
Well, the system is going to make a slow turn towards the west-southwest. It'll move through the Wilmington area and then head down to just west of Myrtle Beach by tomorrow. That's going to continue to produce some very heavy rain. We should see a slow weakening trend throughout the day. I think it'll become a tropical storm later in the day. Again, the big problem is going to be the rains along the path of the storm. At least 20 inches is likely. There's some places are going to see even more than that, and that is going to lead to a lot of flooding like we've already seen in New Bern, North Carolina.
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin with the latest on Hurricane Florence. Thank you, Rob. About 27,000 Duke Energy customers have already lost power, and as many as 3 million may eventually be in the dark for days or even weeks. North Carolina's governor says tens of thousands of structures are expected to be flooded by the storm surge. Hundreds of thousands of people have evacuated the coast, and more than 1,500 flights have been canceled.
More than 60 fires and three gas explosions in Massachusetts last night have displaced about 8,000 people. Flames in Andover, Lawrence, and North Andover claimed the life of one man and injured at least 25 others, prompting mass evacuations from homes in the area.
You just got to go. You got to get out of your home and evacuate. Trust us when we tell you, if you stay in your home, you're going to be at risk.
Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera says displaced residents should have no expectations of returning to their homes today.
We want a situation where you come back where there is no gas and there's no threat to yourself or your loved ones. We're not sure that that's going to be anytime soon.
Lawrence resident Leonel Rondon died as a result of one explosion. The 18-year-old was sitting in a car when a chimney fell on his vehicle. Officials investigating the cause of the incident are focusing on a possibly overpressurized gas main owned by Columbia Gas. And for our Bloomberg 1061 Boston listeners, we'll have much more on this story throughout the morning, including live updates from Lawrence. Bob.
Thank you, Karen. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has defeated challenger Cynthia Nixon in the Empire State's primary election. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with details. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The margin of victory for Cuomo wasn't even close, with 65% to Nixon at 34%. The former Sex and the City star told her supporters the fight for the party will go on.
The blue wave is real. And that it is not only coming for Republicans, it is coming for Democrats who act like them.
Cuomo, who outspent his rival by more than 8-1, seldom mentioned Nixon by name in an often testy campaign and instead touted his achievements and his work to push back against President Trump. Cuomo will now face Republican Mark Molinaro in the fall, and we'll have much more coming up on all the other local New York primary results in just a moment. Bob?
Michael, thank you. Jeff Bezos is finally laying out his philanthropic vision. The Amazon founder sat down for a conversation with Carlyle co-chairman David Rubenstein last night in Washington, where he pledged $2 billion for preschool programs for low-income families.
We know for a fact that if a kid falls behind, it's really, really hard to catch up. And if you can give somebody a leg up when they're 2, 3, or 4 years old, by the time they get to kindergarten or first grade, they're much less likely to fall behind. It can still happen, but you've really improved their odds.
Jeff Bezos will hire a team to run those preschools as a nonprofit group. Politics was also part of last night's conversation. Bezos has recently found himself pulled into the political fray as the target of President Donald Trump's tweets.
I will say this. It is a mistake for any elected official, in my opinion, I don't think this is a very out there opinion, to attack media and journalists. I believe that it is an essential component of our democracy.
While he waded into politics, Bezos did not reveal any decisions about the company's search for its second headquarters. You can hear that full conversation with Amazon founder Jeff Bezos on the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations, Wednesdays on Bloomberg Television at 9 p.m. Eastern and Thursdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures at this hour, up 3 points, that is a tenth of 1%, and 10-year Treasury prices are down 3/32, the yield up to 2.9811%. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more election returns now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. We've told you about New York Governor Andrew Cuomo winning the state's Democratic gubernatorial nomination, but there were other key races in yesterday's New York primaries. Kathy Hochul won the Democratic race for lieutenant governor with more than 53% versus Jumaane Williams with almost 47%. Republican Julie Killian ran unopposed. Public advocate Letitia James beat three other Democratic challengers to win the party's nomination for the state's attorney general. James would become the first black woman to hold the office if she wins in the fall. James faces Republican Keith Wofford, who ran unopposed. Democratic socialist Julia Salazar won the Democratic primary for a state Senate seat in Brooklyn. Salazar, a 27-year-old first-time candidate, handily defeated eight-term incumbent Senator Martin Dillon in New York's 18th district last night. In another upset in the 34th district for state Senate, Alessandria Biaggi defeated incumbent Jeffrey Klein for the Democratic nomination 54-46%. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has reportedly agreed to a tentative plea deal. According to ABC, Manafort agreed to plead guilty and avoid a second trial, but it's unclear if such a deal includes cooperation with special counsel Robert Mueller. The deal is expected to be announced today in federal court in Washington. President Obama campaigned for Democrats in Ohio last night. Obama told voters at a rally in Cleveland the former president reminded the crowd who led the country out of the financial crisis.
When you hear these folks bragging about this economic miracle, just remember when it started. Just remember when the ball got rolling.
Obama also told the crowd what's happening in American politics is not normal. There are reports that indicate that Russia is the main suspect for the recent rash of mysterious illnesses faced by American personnel in Cuba. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert says, but so far there is no concrete evidence that suggests Russia is to blame.
We still don't know the cause. We still don't know what or who is responsible for health attacks that took place that affected our personnel in Cuba.
Now it says medical professionals met with Cuban officials in Washington on the matter. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Michael moves us along to 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. With the Yankees taking the night off, the Mets owned the attention of the New York baseball fan, and they delivered twice.
Swing and a drive, well hit to left. This might go. Galloway back at the wall. It's gone. Put it in the box. Todd Frazier walks it off. He goes back to bat with Michael Conforto. The Mets have won the ball game.
Howie Rose, Mets Radio. Michael Conforto tied it in the ninth, and Todd Frazier walked off the Marlins 4-3 in the first game of a twin bill at Citi Field. Back-to-back hits were half of the hits for the game. The Mets only had four. New York then followed it up with a 5-2 win in the nightcap. Jason Vargas improved to 6-9 after tossing six innings and allowing two runs. Ahmed Rosario was 3-4 in the leadoff hole. Despite the sweep, it was a bittersweet day for the Mets as their legend David Wright says this will be his final season.
To the fans, words can't express my gratitude and appreciation for always having my back. You've accepted me as one of your own, and that right there is a tremendous honor.
Wright will return for one final game September 29th. Yankees fans have a great reason to root on the Mets this weekend. They're on the road at Fenway to play the Red Sox. Noah Syndergaard's on the bump tonight. Yankees host Toronto. Marco Estrada battles Masahiro Tanaka. Thursday night football saw the Bengals outlast the Ravens 34-23, improving to 2-0. Cincinnati scored 28 in the first half. Quarterback Andy Dalton threw four touchdowns, three of them to A.J. Green. On the flip side, Ravens QB Joe Flacco was intercepted twice and fumbled. Jets host Miami on Sunday. Both teams won their opener. Giants are in Dallas Sunday night. Both teams dropped theirs. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschka. Fantasy sports and sports betting in focus on this week's Bloomberg Business of Sports. We talked to DraftKings CEO Jason Robbins tonight at 8, tomorrow morning at 10 on Bloomberg Radio, or download the Apple Podcast on iTunes. The Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Hurricane Florence is bearing down on the East Coast. It's forecast to drench parts of the Carolinas with as much as 40 inches of rain, and as many as 3 million people may eventually lose power. Violent explosions shook towns north of Boston last night, killing one person, injuring at least 25, and forcing mass evacuations. The blasts may cause power outages for more than 100,000 people. Robert Shiller says U.S. stocks can hit new highs. The Nobel laureate thinks the stock market could get a lot higher before it eventually comes down. And Senator Elizabeth Warren says corporate giants from Goldman to Amazon and Facebook are too big and too powerful. And in some cases, Warren says the company should be broken up. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 4.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany's up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.98%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.76%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 18 cents to $68.77 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.40 to $12.10.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1696. The yen, 111.81. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo beat challenger Cynthia Nixon in the Democratic gubernatorial primary 65% to 34%. In the race for the state's attorney general, public advocate Letitia James won a four-way Democratic primary. James got 40.6% compared to Zephyr Teachout at 31% and Sean Patrick Maloney at 25%. She'll face Keith Wolford in the fall. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has reportedly agreed to a tentative plea deal. According to ABC, Manafort agreed to plead guilty to avoid a second trial, but it is unclear if such a deal includes cooperation with special counsel Robert Mueller. In baseball, the Mets won a doubleheader, the Red Sox won, the Orioles beat the A's, the Nationals lost. NFL Thursday night action, the Ravens lost to the Bengals. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:20 on Wall Street, and joining us is Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics. Carl, good morning and welcome. We've got some retail data coming up and a hurricane to talk about. But first, I want to throw you a bit of a curveball. Tomorrow is the 10-year anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers and all the drama that followed. So I want to ask you what your first thought was when you heard that Lehman Brothers had been allowed to fold and had declared bankruptcy. And it doesn't have to be in words. It could just be in emotion.
A sound.
Yeah.
I can remember the Friday before that weekend very clearly, and the stock had been absolutely battered. And I can remember sitting on the trading floor and folks actually putting in purchase orders for Lehman's stock, because they were confident that certainly the mighty Lehman Brothers would not be going out of business and would not be allowed to fail. And worst case scenario, it would be forced into the arms of another bank through a merger. So when we did hear the news over the weekend that they would be allowed to fail, that was shocking, that such an important and storied institution would be allowed to go out of business. And then that really did create not only a sense of shock, but a sense of panic that maybe there wouldn't be that implied support for these perceived to be too big to fail institutions.
Yeah, panic. Were you scared?
There was a lot of anxiety, because we knew the economy was already in bad shape, and whether you love banks or hate them, they're an important part of a well-functioning economy. And if banks were going down and lending institutions were going down, then we knew that that would have dire consequences for the economic outlook. And we can see in 2008 that the recession did get a whole lot worse as the banking crisis really got its legs.
Yeah, you talk about a stock being battered there at the end, like down 95%. You hear a stock going down 95%, you know something
you know
is really
big
badly wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Retail sales figures coming out. Give us a preview.
Sure. We have a slew of economic data today. So retail sales, industrial production, import prices, consumer sentiment. It's going to be a busy morning for eco-watchers and economists as they analyze this. But retail sales, we saw stronger than expected results last month, and so the question is if that may have stolen some of the momentum from what we'll see today. I think that is the case, and so my team is a little bit below consensus in our forecast here, but the important thing is a lot of these data releases now take on heightened significance, because they're going to be the last clean reads we get until hurricane distortions start showing up, and we could see this as early as next week with things like the weekly chain store sales data, the week after jobless claims, and then start of October, that's going to be all of the September releases that will be, in fact, distorted by this. Even the September jobs report could show some potential fallout.
Okay, import prices takes on special significance because of all the trade issues.
Exactly. All the trade issues, and also the appreciation of the dollar. So the trade-weighted dollar is up about actually more than 5% in year-on-year terms. A strong dollar pushes import prices down, pushes goods prices down in general. We saw hints of that 2 days ago in the producer price index. We saw further evidence of that in the CPI, or consumer price index, yesterday. And I suspect we'll see even further deceleration in import prices today. This may mean that we're not quite at 2% inflation on a sustained basis, according to the Fed's preferred gauges.
We've seen very little effect from the tariffs so far. Any sign that that's going to change anytime soon?
Well, again, we can see a measurable impact, but not a dramatic impact in the numbers. If the administration proceeds on the next $200 billion worth of imported goods from China subject to tariffs, that would start to show up more meaningful. And then on top of that, last Friday, President Trump on Air Force One threatened that 267 on top of that could be in train as well.
Cara Ruccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics. Thank you. And Cara will be joining us on our Daybreak Weekend show, looking ahead to next week's big economic reports, heard tomorrow and on Sunday. S&P futures at this hour, up 5 points, a tenth of 1%. Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Hurricane Florence is battering the Carolinas with water and wind. It's now a Category 1 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 90 miles an hour. We'll have much more on the hurricane throughout the morning with the Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
But first, stocks are higher around the world as we close out the trading week. The dollar, meantime, heading for its worst week since February on signs that central banks of some major economies will follow the Federal Reserve in normalizing monetary policy.
This morning, the government issues its monthly report on retail sales. Economists forecast an increase of 0.4% for August. Bloomberg's Vinnie Judice has more.
In July, retail sales advanced 0.5%, the sixth straight increase. Restaurants have been driving recent gains. Bloomberg Economics says consumers splurging on dining is a positive sign, a sign of confidence in the economy. Also on today's economic calendar, Fed data on industrial production and the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. Vinnie Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinnie. Bank of England Governor Mark Carney has warned that a no-deal Brexit would probably lead to an interest rate increase. Bloomberg has learned that Carney joined a cabinet meeting yesterday to outline the BOE's planning for a turbulent exit from the European Union. He said that leaving without an agreement would lead to a fall in the pound and higher tariffs.
And U.S.-traded stocks of Canadian marijuana companies like Tilray fell in late trading. The move lower came after Politico reported the Customs and Border Protection Agency will continue treating marijuana as a banned substance and industry participants as traffickers.
And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 12:37 separately. In today's extended morning trading, the VIX is down again. It is down to 12:19. And that's this morning's Volatility report.
And this quick headline, crossing the Bloomberg, the Russian Central Bank has raised its key rate to 7.5%. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 34. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany up about 0.3%. So is the CAC in Paris. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 2.98%. The yield on the 2-year 2.76%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 28 cents to $68.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.20 to $12.11.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1701. The yen, 111.76. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burden. Visit burdenllp.com/radio. Let's get some election returns now. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. New York's Democratic gubernatorial primary was a resounding victory for Governor Andrew Cuomo. Challenger Cynthia Nixon came up short in her bid with Cuomo at 65% to 34%. In what Nixon spoke to her supporters last night, she says the fight will go on.
This race for the Democratic nomination may be over, but the fight for the soul
of the Democratic Party is just beginning.
Cuomo is the front runner in November's matchup with Republican Mark Molinaro. Democratic Socialist Julia Salazar won the Democratic primary for a state Senate seat in New York City. In another upset in the 34th district for state Senate, Alessandra Biaggi defeated incumbent Jeffrey Klein for the Democratic nomination 54-46%. New York City public advocate Letitia James has won the Democratic primary for New York Attorney General. The National Hurricane Center says Florence is about to make landfall in North Carolina, bringing with it life-threatening storm surges and hurricane-force winds. Florence, a Category 1 hurricane, is less than 25 miles east of Wilmington, North Carolina. Wilmington, North Carolina's police chief, Ralph Evangelist.
I see a biblical proportion flood event that's going to occur. I see the beach communities being inundated with water, and destruction is going to be pretty epic in nature.
About 300,000 customers are already without power in the Carolinas. President Trump's denial of the official death toll from last year's hurricanes in Puerto Rico could become a midterm campaign issue. Here's Bloomberg's Nathan Ager.
Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly says if his fellow Democrats take control of the House in November, they will investigate what he calls the failures of FEMA after Hurricane Maria. Connolly is a senior member of the House Oversight Committee. He says Democrats would issue subpoenas if necessary. In tweets yesterday, President Trump accused Democrats of inflating the official death toll to near 3,000 to make him look bad. That toll is based on university estimates using established scientific processes. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
A series of gas explosions, an official described as Armageddon, killed a teenager and injured at least 10 other people and ignited fires in at least 39 homes in three communities north of Boston. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Mets took down the Marlins not once, but twice at Citi Field. Hard to match the heroics of the matinee as Michael Conforto tied the game with a solo blast in the ninth, only to see Todd Frazier follow it up and send them home happy with another.
That was it. He threw a fastball. He threw two good curveballs. Mickey said it. He said, back-to-back home runs here. He looked at me, and I was in my mind. I'm like, all right, but I didn't think it really happened, and that's baseball. That's the fun part of it.
It's Frazier's 18th of the year. Nightcap saw New York beat Miami 5-2 thanks to Jason Vargas turning in a quality start. Gave up two runs in six innings, and leadoff hitter Ahmed Rosario went 3-for-4. David Wright announced he's calling it a career after a promising yet injury-filled tenure with the Mets. He addressed the media and said his last game at Citi Field will be September 29th. Mets visit the Red Sox tonight. Noah Syndergaard goes to work, while the Yankees host the Blue Jays. Masahiro Tanaka entertains Marco Estrada. Week two of the NFL season saw an aerial attack in Cincinnati.
Dalton throws into heavy traffic, caught at the 25, breaking free to the 15, near side, A.J. Green! He takes it all the way for the touchdown! Dalton to Green again!
Westwood won on the call, one of four Andy Dalton first-half touchdowns as the Bengals improved to 2-0, beating Baltimore 34-23. A.J. Green had three of those receiving touchdowns. Baltimore quarterback Joe Flacco, a game to forget. He was picked off twice and fumbled. Jets host Miami, both teams 1-0 this Sunday, while the Giants visit the Cowboys Sunday night primetime. Both teams are 0-1. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Earlier this summer, the superintendent of schools in Broward County, Florida, sent a back-to-school message about security measures that Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School has taken since a gunman committed mass murder there last February. The building now has a video intercom system with electronic door release, card readers to admit staff, new surveillance cameras, additional fencing, new classroom door locks, and additional security personnel. These efforts and similar ones at many other U.S. schools attempt to compensate for Congress's failure to pass laws making it more difficult for dangerous people to get hold of devastating firepower. Many states do know better. Turning American schools into high-security armed camps is a grim, if understandable, response to abject political failure. Perhaps if there were more responsible people in public life, schools would have less need to operate like prisons. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Senators are working to address data privacy and will hold another hearing later this month. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Executives from Google, Twitter, and Apple will be bringing suggestions to the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee.
Providing input on what Congress can do, on their own privacy practices.
Bloomberg Law's Sarah Merkin says the Internet Association has already come up with some suggestions.
Increase data collection transparency, provide more controls for users to protect their own privacy, and allow consumers to delete their data.
One overriding wish among businesses is that any federal legislation preempt state laws. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. And it is now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. The U.S. is on track to meet about two-thirds of its carbon emissions goals under the Paris Climate Accord, even without the support of President Donald Trump. Cities, states, businesses, and market forces are poised to trim carbon emissions to 17% below 2005 levels by 2025, according to a report presented by California Governor Jerry Brown and Michael Bloomberg, owner of Bloomberg News parent Bloomberg LP. That compares with the 26-28% U.S. commitment under the Paris Agreement. Trump announced last year he intended to withdraw the U.S. from the accord, but the report finds the country can get within striking distance of the target by doing things like increasing renewable energy mandates and retiring coal power plants. The report was presented at the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco. It was produced by the University of Maryland and the Rocky Mountain Institute and funded by Bloomberg Philanthropies. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures up 3 points. This is Bloomberg. Stay with us. Straight ahead, we'll explore the legacy of Lehman. Tough lessons for bankers, for regulators, for all of us. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bloomberg Surveillance. This Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and the Russian Central Bank unexpectedly raised its key interest rate to 7.5%. Meanwhile, stocks in Europe are gaining, along with U.S. stock index futures. And we go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the futures right now, with Dow futures up 32 points, S&P's gained 4, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 25. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.98%. Oil is higher, and Japan rose 1.2% overnight, where European markets are quiet this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, retail sales, and at 10 o'clock, business inventories and Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Adobe beat estimates, and in other news, Goldman Sachs said that Activision's Call of Duty beta bodes well for Q4, and NVIDIA's price target boosted to a street high $3.50 over at Needham. Wrapping things up, Corning was upgraded to buy at Citigroup, Walmart was downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs, and Costco was downgraded over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First to Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, next of kin contact information has been collected from some residents in the Carolinas who did not heed the order to evacuate ahead of Hurricane Florence. The Category 1 storm is less than 25 miles east of Wilmington, North Carolina. About 300,000 customers are already without power in the Carolinas. Authorities say one person has died after a house exploded amid gas explosions north of Boston. At least 10 others were hurt. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo beat challenger Cynthia Nixon in the Democratic gubernatorial primary 65% to 34%. In the race for the state's attorney general, public advocate Letitia James won a four-way Democratic primary. She'll face Keith Wofford in the fall. In baseball, the Mets won a doubleheader. The Red Sox won. The Orioles beat the A's. The Nationals lost. In the NFL Thursday night game, the Ravens lost to the Bengals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It was 10 years ago, Lehman Brothers was in its death throes, on the way to a market-stunning bankruptcy. And tomorrow marks the day it was left to go out of business, September 15th, 2008. The shockwaves crippled the nation's largest insurer, triggered a run on money market funds, and accelerated a cash crunch that would ultimately destroy millions of jobs. Tough lessons for bankers, for regulators, for all of us. And some, it seems, take longer than others.
Meeting of the committee will please come to order.
Barely 3 weeks after Lehman Brothers had flamed out like paper and fire, and as other financial institutions were still snatching up a few salvageable pieces of the storied firm from the cinders of the financial crisis, California Democrat Henry Waxman gaveled the House Oversight Committee into session. It was the start of what's become a decade-long quest for answers.
We'll examine how the system broke down and what lessons we need to learn so this won't happen again.
There have most certainly been valuable lessons learned, as you've no doubt heard this week on Bloomberg Radio and Television and read about on the Bloomberg Terminal. But our series of interviews on the 10-year anniversary of the Lehman Brothers collapse left us with a striking list of questions that remain either unstudied or unanswered. And after all this time, the recommendations of some experts remain left undone. And it was those things we don't know still haunting virtually everyone we spoke to. Robert Skidelsky, Emeritus Professor of Political Economy at the University of Warwick and a member of the UK House of Lords, continues to ask a question that was at the forefront of the debate a decade ago. If banks are still too big to fail, aren't they too big?
They're too big. They're too concentrated. In fact, the banking system has become more consolidated since. But it was the global nature of banking which actually produced the crisis. It was the fact that all the banks held each other's, in the end, valueless assets. And so the collapse of one section of it contaminated everyone else just because of their interconnections. And we haven't done enough to break up the system.
Former Barclays chief executive Bob Dimon says the financial world still hasn't completely resolved exactly how dependent the big banks remain upon each other.
It's absolutely correct that we didn't understand completely the interconnectedness, and I think there's a much better understanding today. I think banks are much safer and sounder, but to say we understand all the complexity of the interconnectedness would probably be a bit optimistic.
Another unresolved question: who should be held accountable when banks make bad financial bets? Lehman CEO Dick Fuld spoke in no uncertain terms almost 10 years ago at that first of numerous congressional hearings.
I take full responsibility for the decisions that I made and for the actions that I took.
But Congressman Henry Waxman and other angry lawmakers didn't seem ready to let Fuld off the hook.
Your company is now bankrupt. Our economy is in a state of crisis. But you get to keep $480 million. I have a very basic question for you. Is this fair?
The Lehman chief never answered the question directly, but ultimately, neither did Congress. Its primary fix became the package of regulatory reforms known as Dodd-Frank. But billionaire investor Warren Buffett worries that Congress may have gone too far, with unintended consequences.
The system will always have a panic from time to time. It won't come from exactly the same cause. Dodd-Frank did one thing, it's 2,000 pages, so it did a lot of things, but it did one thing actually probably would make it more difficult to deal with a certain kind of panic, because it is the power of the Fed to act in a panic when unilaterally and say, you know, that this will end now has been diminished. And I think that was a mistake.
Many experts say the next crisis is likely to happen in an entirely different way than the mortgage crisis that claimed Lehman. But Sonny Kapoor, managing director of the global think tank Redefine, points out the housing market could easily find itself treading water again.
Yes, many people who look sound, many governments and companies that look sound, when interest rates are 1% or 2%, they will not look so healthy once interest rates normalize. The housing market across the board looks healthier on paper, but it is not very robust against rising interest rates.
And economist Raghuram Rajan has a fear of the unknown, concerned that what may have moved behind the curtain may yet harm us.
You know, risk doesn't go away. It migrates. If you stop it in one place, it goes somewhere else. I think the non-banks, the shadow financial system, has probably taken on more risk. Now, some people will argue that's the right place for the risk to be because it's more sort of equity-based, non-levered stuff. We don't know. Some of it could be in levered institutions, and then it becomes problematic.
Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers points in yet another direction, European banks as a source of concern.
I think you have some potentially very serious issues in Europe when banks are selling at half of their book value or less, that is telling you something about the underlying health of those institutions. When we don't recognize that in assessing their soundness, I think we make a serious mistake.
While former European Central Bank President Jean-Claude Trichet cautions it's not just the financial institutions that create concern, suggesting that governments continue to resist long-needed financial reforms.
Not doing a good job in terms of fiscal policies, in terms of precisely augmentation of leverage in the public debt and so forth. So if we want to avoid the repetition of the drama which took place 10 years ago, we have to step in. All partners have to step in.
Of course, stock market investors don't seem to be anywhere near as worried as this long list of concerned speakers might indicate. But the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, Robert Kaplan, points out this is exactly the time to remain vigilant and ensure a safe banking system.
When times are good, big banks, at least, and big financial institutions should have more capital and should have tough stress testing. Because when you have a downturn, that isn't the time you want to then start regulating more stringently financial system. You want to do it when times are good. And for me, still, that's the lesson I think is worth continuing to remind ourselves of.
The legacy of Lehman. Lessons learned and perhaps yet to be learned. Karen?
All right, Bob, thank you. For 3 weeks at this time in September of 2008, U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson was charged with preventing the collapse of the U.S. economy. This weekend, Bloomberg Television will rebroadcast a Bloomberg Businessweek special where Paulson recounts the days leading up to and after the crisis.
There just was that one moment right in the middle. I was gripped with fear. My stomach just tightened. It just turned into a knot. And I was in a very small office that they'd given me with a number of people. And I didn't really have privacy, so I took my cell phone and I stepped out and I called Wendy.
I could hear the defeat in his voice and that he'd really come. He just didn't see a way out.
I said, Wendy, you know, I feel that the burden of the world is on me and that I failed. And it's going to be very bad. And I don't know what to do, and I don't know what to say.
And you can catch the rebroadcast of that special program, Hank, 5 Years from the Brink, this weekend, airing 8 a.m. Eastern Saturday and 1 p.m. Eastern Sunday on Bloomberg Television. Meanwhile, futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 4.5 points, Dow futures up 40, NASDAQ futures up 26, the DAX in Germany is up 0.3%, 10-year Treasury down 0.3 seconds, the yield 2.98%, the yield on the 2-year 2.76%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 29 cents to $68.88 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.50 to $12.1170. Announced. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.